We are in Acts chapter 2, part 2 of acting out the acts of God. We're going through the book of Acts. So put your seatbelt on and prepare for a ride, because we're going through the whole book of Acts. Listen, if we're going to be the church, we need to know what the early church did. If we're going to be about our Father's business, we must understand what the business is. And so in Acts, we find all that we need to be the church at 3600 Bamboo Road. Whenever the director of a movie or a play has everyone or everything in place for the shooting of the next scene, they call out the scene number. They call out how many times they try to shoot that scene. And then they say, action, action. Can y'all say that with me? Action. The book of Acts is all about action. It is the action of the Holy Spirit. It is the actions of the Holy Spirit. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit that God is calling believers to action. The action being that of a witness, the action being one willing to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the action? We are called to the action of believing, surrendering, obeying, following, and trusting Jesus for the plan for our lives. We're called to action. We're soldiers, if you will, on the battlefield for the Lord, and we are called into action. In Acts chapter 2, we find that God is about to fulfill his strategic plan and promise to build his church and to leave a representation of his body here on earth, and that's you and me today. The church. The believers in Acts chapter 1, they were told to go to Jerusalem and to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And as they waited, we find that they were getting their leadership in place in the selection of Matthias in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 26, who would replace Judas, the one who would betray Jesus, the one who is now dead and buried in a field called Al-Qidamas, the field of blood. And so now we come to Acts chapter 2. We'll begin at verse number 1. If you have your Bibles, will you stand with me as we read the text? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there's that word again, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Then it begins to describe where they were born and where they were from. And in verse number 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What meaneth this? You may be seated. This morning we are looking into the actions of God through the power of the Holy Spirit to initiate and to start the church age. When we think about what God is doing, we must understand that anticipating what God is about to do should serve to unify the body. Let me say that again. Anticipating what God is about to do should unify the body of Christ. Are you anticipating what God is about to do at New Berean Baptist Church? Are you waiting in expectation? Are you hoping? Are you believing? Are you trusting? Are you willing to bend? Are you willing to bow? Are you willing to accept what God is about to do? Are you waiting in anticipation for God to do something in your life? Are you hoping beyond hope? We have a text that tells us what to do. Let me say this. Major events in life, they have a way of unifying people towards a common goal, dreams, hopes, and expectations. Major events in life, as I said, have a way of unifying people towards a common goal, dream, hope, or expectation. Look at verse number 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost, now before this, they would have a celebration called the Feast of First Fruits, or the Feast of Weeks, and there would be 7 weeks of weeks, and that's 49. And so the day after the 49th day is Pentecost. It's the 50th day. And that's why they call it Pentecost in the Greek. And it says, when it was fully come, God was about to do something. He had been working. He had been leading. The prophets had been speaking about an event that will come to pass. As a matter of fact, the prophet Joel was talking about it in part. And we have a fulfillment of what Joel was talking about. But there's going to come a day when all of what Joel is saying will come to pass. And so here we have it done in part. And here he's saying it was fully come, this expectation toward the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit would come. It was a full transition, he said. They were all with one accord in what? One place. They were in one accord and in one place. Notice, if you will, the expectation that is there. They were told to go to Jerusalem. Jesus told them, so they had to be willing to obey and to follow the instructions of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is the Word, he gave them word, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so they are expecting, picture, if you will, the gathered crowd waiting with bated breath for the entrance of the bride into a wedding. The groom has been waiting. The parents have been waiting. Friends and loved ones have been waiting. And now the day has come, the day of this great anticipation, just to get a glimpse of her dress and maybe just to be able to see the glow on her face. Don't nobody stand up in the aisle so I can't see, because I'm expecting her to walk in and to shock and amaze you. Brothers can barely stand when the wife comes in. They see her and the knees get weak. They begin to weep and they begin to cry and they begin to say, who is this? There was some expectation. Then there is your favorite music artist or concert. Some people, they love their artists so much that they are willing to spend hours just to get a ticket. And once they get the ticket, they're willing to spend some more hours just waiting to get in. Some will even go as far as spending days and even camping out in tents just in anticipation to get into the concert. Have you ever been there? Don't tell on yourself. Michael Jackson fans, you know they were some fanatics. Am I right about it? They would do all kind of things in anticipation, expecting Michael to show up. They would make up Michaels. Is that him? That look like him? And then they would run. Oh man, I remember one time I was in San Diego and I had went to a Keith Sweat concert. Make it last forever, amen? And I was decked out. I had my leather coat on. I had my leather pants on, y'all. Are y'all with me now? I had on some leather high rider boots. Y'all didn't understand. I had some style back then. I was in the military. And I had some swag. You know, I had on all my leather, but just so happened, Keith Sweat had on the exact same thing that night in the concert. He had on all black leather, and I had a really nice black leather coat. It had wings to it, you know. And just so happened, I'm walking and I'm going towards the McDonald's. The concert is let out, and it just so happened, Keith Sweat had the exact same haircut that I had. And my hair was really low. It's kind of high right now. But it was really low and it was faded. And I went into the McDonald's and the girl started saying, Keith Sweat. I said, where? They thought I was Keith Sweat coming in because they were anticipating and expecting and they were wanting to get close to him and anything and anybody that looked like him. Oh, I don't know, but I didn't get no numbers or nothing, but I thought that was my claim to fame right there. Expectation. And then there's Black Friday where people were waiting in line for long. Are y'all anticipating that already? Cyber Tuesday, what is it called? Cyber Monday, and what kind of Tuesday? Cyber Monday and Tuesday. Folk will wait in front of Walmart and fight and anticipation to get in to get a TV. Y'all know I'm right. Some of y'all been in that line too. And then how many of us like sports? I know y'all love some sports. Before every sporting event, I hear that the Washington football team, how many of y'all Washington football team fans? Oh Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. God bless y'all real good. I'm a Bengal fan. We done lost our quarterback, so I don't even know what to say. I think I might become a Washington fan now. But you say you're going to baptize me? There's football games, and the fans, they wait in anticipation for their team and thinking that they would win the game. In fact, every sports fan and team thinks this way about waiting and anticipating for their team. Let me tell you what they would do to prove my point and how much they would anticipating their team winning the game. They have what you call tailgate parties. Are y'all with me on that? Tailgate parties is when they get together, all the fans, and they would get their trucks and get their RVs and get their campers and get their bikes and motorcycles and whatever they got. They come on scooters if they can. Look, listen, they would come and they would barbecue and cook and have meals and they would have fellowship. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? They would have football church in anticipation for their team to win the game. Are y'all with me? But then there is high school. In high school, you know what they do in high school? They have these things called pep rallies. Oh, how many of y'all had some pep rallies in y'all day? I remember my pep rallies. Hey man, I went to a school. It was a school for athletes. It was called the Cincinnati Academy of Physical Education. Yeah, there was a school for athletically gifted students, and they recruited students from all over Cincinnati to come to this school. Rich folk in rich neighborhoods and poor folk in poor neighborhoods all could come. And we had some good pep rallies. Our football team was one of the best teams in the state. We won state almost every year. We were that good. And our pep rallies were newly secundo, second to none. And what the pep rally is all about, it's an event where the fans are cheering in expectation for your team to devour, to crush, to terminate the other team. That's how y'all feel about it. Some of y'all. And what they do is they begin to praise the players. They would even call out the players' names one by one, and the players would run out on the court or wherever they are on the field. And they will begin to have the cheerleaders to cheer in expectation. So there's praise going on, and there's cheering, and there's celebration going on in expectation for what their team was about to do. Now I'm going somewhere. I said major events in life have a way of unifying people towards a common goal, dream, hope, or expectation. In our text this morning, the believers in Acts are having what I call a Holy Ghost pep rally. Are y'all with me? They're having a Holy Ghost pep rally as they are waiting in expectation for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come. They are waiting on the Spirit to give them the victory to do what God called them to do in Acts 1:8. And that was to be a witness in Jerusalem and in Samaria and Judea and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what Acts is really all about. It's about that one verse in the Acts of God completing it. And so Sunday morning is really a Holy Ghost pep rally. Sunday morning is really a Holy Ghost pep rally in anticipation for what God is about to do in our lives individually and collectively. And oftentimes, listen, saints, God does the individual expectation or the thing in which you're hoping for. He does that in the collective gathering. And so, in other words, if you're hoping for a blessing, many times he will bless you in the collective gathering. You may want an individual blessing, but because you came to the collective gathering, God is going to meet your need. Because you surrender to the Holy Spirit and you surrender to the governance of the church and the leadership, God says, I'm going to do something special for you. I'm going to do something special for you. What you've been expecting and anticipating, because you're walking in obedience to me, in the collective, I'm going to bless you individually. Amen. Amen. He says, I want to bless you. I want you to expect what I'm about to do in your life, that he might get the glory and the witness of your story. Hebrews 10:25 makes it plain. It says that we are not to forsake or not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Notice when we go back to verse number 1. And it says, and they were all in one place. They were all with one accord and in what? One place. One accord and in one place. That's what God is doing here in Acts. He is bringing together a church that was scattered and bringing them all together in one accord and in one place. I know there are some that say you can have church at home, but according to scripture, these who started the early church, they were one in one accord, and they were in one place. The Holy Spirit is unifying the church, not scattering the church, not scattering the sheep.
Amen.
And so, we look at the scripture. We look at the scripture. We can go back and we can get a witness. Noah and his family were gathered together on the ark in one place, and they were all in one accord as God flooded the earth. And during the plagues of Egypt, the people of Israel were gathered together in anticipation for their deliverance. When the death angel came, they were gathered together in the house, and under the blood of the Lamb, they were in one accord and in one place under the one blood. And the saints of God, who are the sheep of God, we've been baptized into one body to be on one accord in one place. And that is the church. I'm not talking about this structural building. This building, as beautiful as it is not the church. Okay. It's where we come as a body to have church, to be the church. If we had not a building, we should still be able to gather in one accord and in one place. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. This is what he wants you to know, New Berean Baptist Church, that God is putting us together in one accord, in one place. And so we got a witness from Scripture. Look at Moses. Look at the children of Israel. When they got to the Red Sea, the people were gathered together in one place between those mountains, and they were in one accord in expectation for God to do something. They came to a point where they could not turn left, they could not turn right, and the Red Sea was before them, and all they could do was hope in God. All they could do is expect from God. And so he's saying, I want you to be in one place because I don't want you to miss it. Just imagine when God parted the Red Sea and you had a straggler coming behind from Egypt. And they were coming behind Pharaoh, trying to catch up to the children of Israel going across. Some wouldn't have made it, wouldn't they? The sea came back together. And sometimes, listen, saints, God is parting Red Seas in the church. And sometimes folk, because they're not in one accord and they're not in one place, when the blessings begin to flow or the expectation of what God is doing at that time begins to transition to a new thing, the ones who are trying to catch up to the first thing, they can't get it. Because we're moving on to the second thing. And they're still trying to catch up with the first thing. Why? Because they're not willing to follow. They're not willing to obey. They're not willing to expect and to hear what God is about to do. And so they got to the Red Sea, the place where they were. God parted it because they were what? Together. At the River Jordan, God didn't stop it. At the River Jordan, the people were in one place on one accord, and God did it again. He parted the River Jordan for Joshua and the children of Israel, and they too went across the Jordan. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? In other words, are we together? Are we, let's say that, are we together? If we are together, we should be able to say amen to what God is doing together. And there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one vision that God has given to the church, and in this particular, he's given to me to give to you. Yes. If so, if not, we would have several different heads of snakes. God gives the vision and he wants us to follow. But we must be, we have to be together. Now, some may fall by the wayside. Some you can't pick up. Some will fight against you, but we must be together. We cannot sacrifice the unity of the church on the altar of someone's disobedience and willingness not to follow. Are y'all with me? Are y'all together? Am I preaching what the Bible is saying? If so, can you say amen? Anticipating what God is about to do should unify the body of Christ. Secondly, the Spirit of God will always bring about new life and fresh power in the church and in your life. Look at verse number 2. It says, and when there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, And it filled all the house where they were sitting. This is the Holy Spirit about to do a new thing. First, it filled the house. See, that's what praise does. When we praise God, that praise begins to fill the atmosphere. And this is what God, when God is about to do something, see, the praise is just a prep. It's a pep rally for you to expect and anticipate the word of God. And when the word of God becomes active in your life, it not only affects the atmosphere, it affects you. It doesn't just change the outside, it changes you on the inside. That's what the goal of the preaching and the teaching is all about, that we not walk out the same way that we walked in. Why? Because we've been in the atmosphere of God. We've been in the presence of God. We've received and surrendered to the word of God, and thereby we are changed. We are new. We are freshly pressed. Are you with me? Look what the Bible says. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Notice where they were sitting. They were sitting in the house. It says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, if you will, fire that had split in two, tongues like as of fire. It didn't say it was fire, but it says it was as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Notice this cloven tongues of fire. It represents the presence of God. It represents the presence of God. As I said, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people, but God, in this particular account, is about to do a new thing. The Holy Spirit is now about to indwell and empower and seal believers with the Holy Spirit. And so now, in the Old Testament, you look back and you say, yeah, guess what? God will come and he would go. But in the New Testament, and according to Pentecost, God is coming to stay. And he said, I will never leave you. Neither will I forsake you. He said, I would never leave you. I came to stay. I came to rest, rule, and abide. I came to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I came to sit on your heart as the King Jesus. He said, I'm never going to leave. You can't put me out. Oh, somebody said you can lose your salvation. Well, first of all, if you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you don't own your life anymore. Are y'all picking up what I just put down? How can you give away that which you don't own anymore? How can you lose that which you don't own anymore? You can't lose it. It ain't yours. When you give your life, notice, you give your life to Christ. What you are saying is, Lord, I put my life back into your hand. Jesus says, as the Father told him, he says, my Father have given them to me, and nobody is able to pluck them out of what? My hand. First of all, he said, you were given by the Father to him. And who is able to pluck you out of God's hand? You can't lose it. You can't give it away. You can't run it away, because it's a God-ordered thing. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Are we together?
Thank you, Jesus.
Let these people lie to you. Don't let them lie to you. Don't let yourself lie to you. I'm just going to put it right there.
Yes.
I know when I gave my life to the Lord, I was 21. I thought I had an experience at 12. I couldn't tell you if I was or wasn't. But at 21, I knew. But every now and then I felt like, well, maybe I wasn't. And I would pray again. And I pray, and I pray again. And I remember coming to New Berean, and I sat down with Pastor Ricks. And he told me, he said, Tony, you don't have to keep getting saved over and over again. When you pray, the Lord saved you the first time. Amen. And so guess what? I know that I know that I know. Because it's about him. It's his word. It's his promise. And it's his sealing. It was his convicting that told me that I was a sinner. And I bowed down my head, and I got on my knees, and I accepted Jesus myself. Yeah. You have people tell you to lie. And most of all, you would tell yourself to lie. Don't even let you lie to you. Don't let the devil whisper nothing in your ear that ain't Bible. And if you are saved, you're not going to keep living in sin. You're going to be convicted about it, and then you're going to turn from it. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, the Bible says, God forbid, if you truly saved, if you're truly saved, there ought to be some birthmarks. That's some evidence of the Holy Spirit living in you. And the one thing is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The first thing is that you called in the house. That's the first birthmark. Did y'all know y'all got birthmarks? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Birthmark number one. Birthmark number two, you have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Birthmark number three, you've been led by the Holy Spirit. Are y'all with me? I can give you some birthmarks. I got a whole bunch of them. But I'll leave those with you. Look what he says. He says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. The presence of God is about to just move into the believers. And you ought to notice that the believers, there are 120 of them at this particular time, that God is about to initiate the church. And they are believers, but yet they had not received the Holy Spirit. This was a transitional moment. It was a one-time event that would set the course of all who would believe thereafter. It was first to be a Gentile Pentecost. And when you get down to Acts chapter 10, we see that God moves from the Jews and he begins to work with the Gentiles with the saving of Cornelius. And Cornelius too begins to speak in other tongues to let everybody know that God is saving Gentiles as well as Jews. Amen. So we'll get there in the road ahead. And notice what happened. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Are y'all scared now? You know, when we get to talk about tongues, we get in the church. But I want to make it plain for you. I want to put it down where you can pick it up. I want to put it down so you can say, Pastor, I'm picking up what you're putting down. I want to make it so that little children can understand what God is doing in the early church, in particular with this text, because most pastors, they skip it because it's too controversial. I'm not going to skip it. I felt like skipping it. I'm for real. In my prayer last night, I was like, Lord, I think I need to skip that. And the Holy Spirit said, don't skip it. Preach it. So y'all bear with me. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice what they were doing. They were not preaching at this point. Peter is not preaching at this point. As a matter of fact, they were all on one accord and they were in one place, and all they were doing was praising God in expectation. If we're going to see some things change, if we're going to see some mighty works of God, we have to be on one accord in one place, praising God, waiting for what he's about to do. That's what the text is saying. He said they were praising God, and they were, notice what it says, and they began to speak with other tongues. They were not preaching. They were just encouraging and exhorting and praising, and people heard it. People heard them. Peter is preaching and it's just him, but they heard them in their praise. But they were speaking in other tongues. They were speaking in the dialectos, in the Greek is the word. Dialecto is the word that means language. Dialecto. Y'all want to know the Bible? You got to understand the Greek and the Hebrew. And that's where you get the proper interpretation from. And so dialecto simply means a language or a dialect. We often use that. And in Nigeria, there are 400 different languages, 400 different dialects, dialectos. And so let's look at the scriptures. they begin to speak with other tongues. The Spirit would always bring about new life and fresh power. Fresh power. They were filled with the Holy Spirit because God told them that you will be endued with power from on high. This power is, again, the resurrecting power of God. If you will, the Spirit of God was, or in the Greek, is called pneuma. It is a word where we get pneumatology. It's the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. It means God breathed. And we can understand what God was doing when it talks about a fresh life. He gives us new life and fresh power. We go back to Genesis, and in Genesis we find that when God had made Adam, the Bible says he breathed into Adam the breath of life, the pneumos of God, and he became a living soul in the natural. But what God is doing in the church, he is now putting and breathing into the believers his Holy Spirit so that we might become new creations in Christ and become newborn believers, newborn Christians, and newborn saved individuals, saved souls under the blood of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what he did in beginning, he is making a brand new in the middle. And he's saying, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. And I am saving, I am sealing, and I am working in the church. That others might be connected to the eternal hope that we have beyond the end. Listen, saints, are we going to get there? There was with Adam the first cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Boom. Bible says Adam became a living soul. Fire. The cloven tongues of fire representing the presence of God. We can reflect back to Moses standing at the burning bush. And the bush was burning, but it was not being consumed because God represented himself in the presence of the fire. Yes. And so God is saying, I'm here. I'm here in the church. We got to know, he said, where two or three are gathered in my name. He said, I am what? Here to make sure that the church is disciplined and comes under the authority of the scriptures. Yes. He said they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a one-time act. You don't have to keep getting the Holy Spirit over and over and over again. The moment you believe, we read that last week in Ephesians, where it says that we were sealed after we did what? We believed. After we believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, that also means that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can get filled with the Holy Spirit many times. But we don't need to get the Holy Spirit many times. As a matter of fact, I have a glass here and there's some water. Y'all see that water? That water represents you in Christ. The water is there. The water represents the Holy Spirit. You have all of God you're ever going to get. He didn't give you 2/3 of himself. He didn't give you 50% of the Holy Spirit. He didn't give you 99.99% of the Holy Spirit. He gave you all of himself. But what is being filled with the Spirit? Being filled with the Spirit is this: less of you and more of him. Being filled with the Spirit is you submitting, decreasing, and he increasing. That's what it means. And so as we understand that, we can be filled. When we begin to submit and submerge our will to his will, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. When we submerge our bad attitudes, when we submerge lying, stealing, and cheating, when we come to the end of ourselves and we decrease, he begins to increase. And as you surrender your mind, your will, your emotions, the things to, according to scripture, you begin to surrender and you begin to sink down lower. Jesus begins to rise up higher. Why? Because you are decreasing and he is what? Increasing. The more you decrease, the more you increase. And the more you decrease, the more you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. Y'all see that? Now the Holy Spirit is running out and running over. It's coming over the top. That's joy overflowing. That's peace overflowing. That's God's goodness and his grace overflowing. Now you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there's less of you and there's more of him. But you had all of him that you were going to get. You had. Jesus wants you to overflow. He wants you to overflow. He wants you to get somebody else wet. Come on, somebody. Slap some water on me. Hallelujah. That's what we do when we come to church. We come to have a Holy Ghost pep rally where you slap water on me and the water begins to get thicker. It turns into oil and we begin to be anointed and appointed in Jesus Christ to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that his house might be filled. It's not Pastor Tony's house. Matter of fact, it ain't your house. It's his house. This is God's house. He owns it. Can I get a witness? And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about you. You are the house of God. You are the dwelling place of God. Yes, you. Don't get it twisted. We got to keep the main thing the main thing. We don't want to get mission drift. When we start focusing on our programs and not people, when we begin to get mission drift, when we begin to think about what I want to do and not what God wants to do. God says, I'm about to do a new thing here at New Berea. You haven't seen yet. Your eyes have not seen. Your ears have not heard. Nor has it entered the heart of man what God is about to do. I didn't say what Pastor Tony is about to do. I said what God is about to do. But he needs somebody to expect, anticipate, to even give it a consideration that God is up to something. Give it just a little consideration. I know you got a new pastor here. And I know not every one of y'all voted for me. I don't care. I don't care who voted what way. It doesn't matter to me. That just tells me I got some work to do. That just tells me I got some folk I got to win. That just tells me that I gotta love somebody who don't love me. That's all that tells me. All that tells me is I got to do good to them that hate me. I got to help those understand the Lord who don't understand me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? And so God says, I'm working through my spirit, and I'm looking for saints who are willing to be filled with it. So that you can do the actions of God. You can do the actions of God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to finish. 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 Oh, I'm going to finish. Tongues. Tongues. How many of y'all like cliffhangers? I'm gonna leave you hanging on the cliff right here. Next week, we're gonna come back and we're gonna finish scene two, act one, take two of Acts. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you and we anticipate what you are about to do. Father, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for we don't know sometime what we're doing. We don't know what to think. We don't know where to go. But Lord, you do. Lord, as a body of Christ, Lord, will you help us to anticipate and to surrender, to follow, to trust, to obey, to be directed by your Holy Spirit. Bind us together in one accord, in one place, that we might serve the one true God. Who is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who are one. Will you help us, oh God? Will you take the Spirit on the inside? Help us to decrease so that you can increase, that others might come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior because we humbled ourselves under your hand. Forgive us, Lord, for things we thought, things we've said, things of places we've gone, Lord, that you hadn't not wanted us to go. We ask, Lord, as your children, to forgive us. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not sure if I have a home in heaven, but I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to give it to him. I want to surrender it to him. I want to receive this God that you're talking about as my God, that I might have a home in heaven one day. If you're here today, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. You want to make sure that you have a home in heaven. Is there one? Amen.